I'm Ben Grapevine, and this is The Grapevine. Wherever it's celebrated, Christmas is a time for tradition. Where I grew up, that meant bringing a tree indoors, surrounding it with gifts, and spending time playing games with friends and family. But it also meant that my family would hide a pickle somewhere on the tree, and whoever found it would receive a prize. Everyone I knew growing up had a tree, and presents, and time with family, but no one else did the pickle thing. Now might be a good time to note that the pickle was a small plastic ornament that my family reused. I don't long for the Christmassy scent of pine and dill. It turns out that the pickle thing is cultural. We just don't really know from where. I mean, there's clearly enough of a market for fake pickles with a string through them for it to be a thing, but I still don't know anyone else who does it. The internet regales me of stories of a long-standing German tradition before calmly reminding me that there's no basis to them. It seems it's a more modern, more American tradition, which, to me, makes it weirder, but also more endearing. It reminds me that the holiday season is about the traditions we share with everyone around us, but also those that we share with only those closest to us, and that these little variations in tradition make the holidays more interesting. Like, for example, the Norwegian tradition of hiding your brooms so the Christmas witches don't find them, or the Catalan tradition of Tio de Nadal, the pooping log, where each day of the holiday season, children offer nuts, dried fruit, and other holiday goods to a painted log and cover it with a blanket to stay warm. Then, on Christmas Eve, the kids gather around the log and sing its traditional song while beating it with a stick. When the ritual is complete, they look under the blanket to find the gifts that it has so generously defecated for them. That's real. Austria has Krampus, the evil demonic analog to Santa who steals children who misbehave. The Dutch and Germans have a tradition of laying their shoes out for Sinterklaas and receiving shoeborn gifts in return. The Dutch also have Zwarte Piet, Santa's not-slave assistant. In Ukraine, Christmas trees are adorned with spider webs. For the people of Gävle, a town in northern Sweden, it's a Christmas tradition to build a 40-foot-tall straw goat. And for some of the people of Gävle, it's tradition to burn it down. The precedent for this 40-foot goat is the Yule goat, a Scandinavian Christmas tradition with pagan origins. Before most of Sweden's population was Christian, Swedish pagans used small straw goats as part of their winter solstice celebrations. National Geographic reports that the exact origins of the tradition were unknown, and that the question of why pagan Swedes were so attached to goats remains unanswered, but the tradition runs deep enough that the people of Gävle decided in 1966 to build a 40-foot-tall version of the typically small, handcrafted goat, an image of Gävle so important that the people of the city rebuild it every year, even though the world around them seems hell-bent on taking it down. The first ever Gävle goat, or Gävleboken in Swedish, was built in 1966 in Castle Square in Gävle, where it's remained ever since. The goat is 13 meters tall, 7 meters long, and weighs 3.6 metric tons. For reference, that's about 42.6 feet high, about 30 feet long, and nearly 8,000 pounds. Builders ship in a full truckload of straw from a local village and use machinery to organize bales of it around a wooden frame. The city of Gävle enjoyed the presence of this first 42-foot-tall goat for Christmas, but at midnight on New Year's Eve, the Gävle goat went up in flames. The perpetrator was later apprehended and charged with vandalism, but this would only be the beginning of the Gävle goat's long-standing relationship with would-be arsonists. National Geographic notes that each year the Gävle goat has about a 50-50 chance of destruction, and that destroying the goat has become nearly as regular a tradition as constructing it in the first place. Indeed, it seems that to some, monitoring the goat's well-being is as much a part of the festivities as it existing at all. But despite a growing public interest in the goat's downfall, its builders aren't keen to see their Yule goat go up in flames. Each year, the goat's allies debut new security measures to ensure its survival. In 1985, the goat was placed under the protection of Securitas, a Swedish security firm, as well as local members of the Swedish military. In January, it was destroyed by a fire. Atlas Obscura reports that as a result, since 1986, two separate goats are built in Gävle, one by the city's Southern Merchants Organization and one by the local Natural Science Club. But in spite of these security measures, those keen on destroying the goat have continued to find a way. Since its inception, the Gävle goats have been separately burned, smashed, and thrown into the local Gävle River. In 2001, an American tourist from Cleveland was arrested and fined $14,000 after setting fire to the goat. In 2005, the goat was burned down again, and Atlas Obscura writes that this attack went on to spark the biggest wave of inanimate goat violence in Sweden so far, leading to half a dozen copycat goat burnings all over Sweden. In 2009, the Southern Merchant's goat survived an early arson attempt on December 7th, only to be stolen a week later on the 14th. After webcam surveillance disrupted an attempt to throw the Natural Science Club's goat into the river, a coordinated attack resulted in the goat being burned down following a DDoS attack on the websites that hosted the live video feeds. In 2011, the goat's builders came up with the idea to cover it in a coat of ice to prevent would-be arsonists. In the days following Advent, unusually warm weather set upon the town of Gävle, melting the ice, and less than a week after it was constructed, the goat was destroyed in a fire. In 2013, the goat was soaked with flame retardant, and the local published an article titled, "Gävle Confident Its 2013 Xmas Goat Won't Burn." The goat was later destroyed in a fire. In 2016, locals held a party for the Gävle goat's 50th birthday during its inauguration. Just a few hours after the party had ended, the goat was destroyed in a fire. Attending to their goat's rapid destruction, officials declined to rebuild the goat, instead constructing a smaller replica, which was later hit by a car and destroyed. To some, the goat's destruction is as much a part of the holiday as its inauguration. For years, people local and online have placed bets on the goat's survival. Still, the town of Gävle and the goat's supporters rally around it each year, implementing new security measures for the safety of the Gävle goat. The Gävlebocken has been protected by policemen, firemen, hired guards, bands of volunteers, webcams, and fireproofing chemicals. Today, guards operate out of a small guardhouse with no bathroom access, dedicating their time to the vigilant protection of Sweden's most famous goat. One guard told Swedish newspaper Arbetarbladet that two men offered him $50,000 to leave his post for a few minutes sometime before Christmas, planning to use a helicopter to kidnap the goat from Gävle and fly it to a public square in Stockholm. "There's no stereotypical goat burner," Gävle resident Ove Rosen said to National Geographic. "The goat has been an easy target for drunk people walking home at night after visiting a pub." But Rosen continued, "Among the municipality's inhabitants, there are rumors of a secret goat-burning association, which supposedly plans to burn the goat every year." In another interview with National Geographic, resident Maria Wahlberg responded to the idea, saying, "Sometimes I think it's planned, and sometimes I think it's someone going home drunk in the night and gets the idea of burning down the goat." Sure enough, reports from Gävle one year attributed the goat's burning to two men dressed as Santa Claus and a gingerbread man. Regarding the burnings, Wahlberg argued that if the first goat had never burned down, you never know what could have happened in the next years. And then there's another view. Another resident poses an alternative, localized view of the burnings. Speaking again to National Geographic, Josefine Nordvall says, "It's not fair. All the children are always sad. It's a sad feeling around the town." For or against the burning of the Gävle goat, it's a part of Gävle's town history, closely interwoven with its largest Christmas tradition. I've given some examples in this piece, but if you look up the Gävlebocken online, you'll find I only scratched the surface. Each year since 1966, the goat has either been destroyed or survived, and there's a story behind each time, including failed attempts, jail time, and tales of victory for the goat's esteemed protectors. Last year, the goat survived. This year, as I'm recording this, the goat is alive and well in Castle Square. Prospects are looking good, but there's still time for things to go up in smoke. The Grapevine is written and produced by me, Ben Grapevine. Special thanks, as always, to those of you who continue to support me in this endeavor. To the family members I'm happy to spend time with this holiday season, to Sarah and Brady, to Mom and Dad, to Kevin and David and Zoe and Lil and Jack and Ben, and everyone else. It's been a while since I've put one of these out, but I promise I've got a lot I'm working on, and there may be another surprise coming soon. For this piece, I'd like to credit and thank the BBC, National Geographic, Atlas Obscura, and the Visit Gävle website, all of whom I referenced extensively in writing this. I'd also like to thank and credit Arbetarbladet and The Local and Slate for information on Catalonia's Pooping Christmas log. I hope you all have a happy holiday season, and as always, thanks so much for listening.